Hey, everybody. Hope you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. I'm happy to be in studio with the political cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantus. And, we had a conversation a few weeks ago we've had a lot of conversations about movies, about sports, a tough loss, another loss from the Blackhawks tonight. And you got to stay behind your team.
I love them. I do.
Yes.
I am a convert, which means I'm fanatical. But this season, I'm born again Blackhawks. Go Hawks! But this season, they're making me crazy.
Well, I'm sure they're feeling crazy too. So I hope that they can turn it around before the end of the season. I know. You're making faces.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That's always good radio.
Maybe it's because I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. I just know from, just keep showing up for your team.
Yeah.
You can be frustrated.
Yeah.
You can be angry. You can yell at the television.
I'm a grown man who's almost 60 who has a jersey.
You have a jersey
I have a Hawks jersey.
I think it's called a sweater.
Okay. Well,
I know. I'm sorry. These are things that I learned, and I did have that voice that makes it sound like I'm judging you. Only I had to be given the same tone in correction from other people. So I think it's called a sweater.
Just passing it forward.
Yes,
thanks,
I am.
Thanks, Patty.
I apologize. I take it back. Do you have a jersey?
I do.
Blackhawks jersey?
Excellent.
I have several hats and shirts, and I love the Blackhawks colors.
I do, too. I love the team.
I love the team. I don't know hockey as well as baseball. I mean, it's different when you play a sport for most of your life. What?
Oh, I'm just smiling.
Why?
Well, WGN's latest announcement.
Yes. Yes, we are now the broadcast home of the Chicago White Sox, which seems, I know it's...
That thing caught in your throat or anything.
I slowed down to make sure I said all the words. It's causing quite the stir on social media. I've been following messages. A lot of people not pleased. They're very angry about it.
Can I be correct?
Yes.
It's a great decision by WGN management, I think. It makes perfect sense, but it's just... weird.
It's weird. I love baseball. So for me, baseball on the radio is one of the great things. There's nothing like that sound, with the crack of the bat, the conversation between the broadcasters in the booth, the conversations afterwards, the fans. The White Sox fans are, I'm learning more. We had John Bolger on last night to walk me through some of the White Sox history. Being in the city doesn't mean that you dig it. I know about the Black Sox.
Well, no, in fact, our first apartment where we had you over for dinner that one time, and you could look down, one of the views was straight down onto the courthouse where the Say It Ain't So, Joe.
Oh, that moment happened?
It happened right there.
I did not realize that you could see that from your apartment.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, so now that's my... No, I got to feign total ignorance about Sox stuff, because it's Go Cubs Go.
Right.
Been saying that since I came here. Sox, I don't know what you say.
Well, I don't know what I say either. I say Go Cubs Go. So 312-981-7200. You can educate us. I know that we have
Please.
Sox fans that were already listening to WGN. I think that this brings more people. This kind of brings the city together. And I know that Cubs fans are, they're upset. This is just one of those things. We had an opportunity, and we jumped at it.
Mommy's getting remarried. I'll never call
weird.
You dad.
When I drive the fan van in the parades, like from Memorial Day and the 4th of July, people yell at me about bringing. Like, I'm just driving the van. They're like, bring back the Cubs. I'm like, I don't. They don't. They barely let me park in the parking lot. It's not like I'm making decisions.
Well, and I've told you the story why when I came to the city in 08-09. And I was hanging out with John Cass, the columnist for the Tribune. And John is a Southsider, or a Southsider. Apparently there's no H there,
right.
To his marrow. And I was talking to him, and John has colorful language. I'll bleep out the colorful part. Because, John, I'm having troubles because, the American League, you can actually chart the decline of America by when they instituted the designated hitter rule.
In the American League, right?
It's math. You can't argue math.
Okay, I guess if you say so.
So I said, I have a hard time rooting for an American League team, but the Sox are dedicated to winning. They won the series in 05. They seem to be dedicated. So,
wait, did you have a team before you came to Chicago?
I actually saw the San Diego, this is how old I am, saw the San Diego Padres play their very first Major League team.
Okay.
Major League game in San Diego in 1969. I was 10.
Okay, and that was your team for most of your life?
It still is. But they're not dedicated to much of anything except apparently fish tacos at the stadium.
It's good to know.
So John, I said, John, who do I root for? He goes, what's your address? I go, I'm sorry? He goes, what's your address? I go, well, it's North. He goes, North, and he goes, North, Cubs, done.
To like the Cubs.
And so that's, but you have to explain the blood sport. You grew up with it.
Yeah.
Why the blood feud between the two teams.
It's a lot. I think it's the culture. I think it's the North Side versus the South Side. I think there's an environment that feels different. You know, you have Wrigley in the middle of a neighborhood. You have Comiskey on the side of the highway. It's a different, you know, people. I think that people feel. They feel, first of all, obviously, severe loyalty to the teams that they grew up with. It's a, sure. For many people, it's generations, you know, family members pass it on. In my house, actually, my father hated the Cubs.
Really?
Oh, he had a standing bet that the Cubs would not finish every season. They would not finish over 500. He did very well in many decades throughout his life. And he hated the Cubs since he was 10 years old. He had lived and died by the Cubs as a child. He grew up during the Great Depression and World War II. He used to leave school. He used to ditch school and sneak onto the trolleys and then sneak into Wrigley Field.
And they used to make it into the World Series occasionally during that period.
From the 30s.
Did they make it 45?
Let's see. My dad 48? Was born in 33, so he would have started going to games like when he was about, you know, six or so. So 39. So, well, you know, during World War II. But at one of the games, he used to always ask ball players for their autographs. You know, where the dugout is and the stairwell with the, you know, fences around it leading up to the locker rooms. I don't know what it looks like now, but I actually had gotten an autograph from another team, actually, from Fernando Valenzuela.
Aww.
I was very excited when he was in town with the Dodgers. But so my dad actually showed me where one of the ball players told him to go F himself. And because my dad was like 10, and he went home and asked his mom what that meant, and she hit him with a broom. And my dad hated the Cubs for the rest of his life. I think it built on itself as he got older, you know, when he found out what it meant, and then he thought, well, why would a ball player say that to a kid? Why would he, you know, why would he come down so hard on a kid that just wanted an autograph? So he got madder and madder as he got older. And I use that as an example to Griffin, like, don't let anger eat you. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, he still loved baseball. My dad loved pretty much every other team. He loved the Red Sox. He loved the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Rockies. He liked the Rockies because that was a newer organization. So he would follow them. He had a lot of hats. He liked the White Sox too. So
okay,
yeah, it was weird. So I grew up in a baseball house. I don't remember how I fell in love with the Cubs. I just love going. You know, I love watching the games. My dad would take me when the Dodgers were in town. I like the Dodgers, but that was, I know, it's weird.
You like Fernando Valenzuela, who is was a phenom.
He was. Well, my dad took me. My dad was Irish, and my mother is Mexican, and my dad would take me, and he would wear a sombrero. It was so funny.
Your dad?
My dad would wear a sombrero.
Was it green with shamrocks?
No, it was black and gold. My mother had this beautiful black and gold sombrero, like one of those really, you know, ornate ones,
nice.
Like the mariachi.
Yeah.
And he would, when Fernando was walking to the mound, he would stand up and like with his sombrero on. But he took me to the park to tell me that, you know, just because you're Mexican, don't let anybody tell you you can't do something, to show me that this was this incredible pitcher on the mound. So it was kind of cool. And I still have the autograph ball from Fernando.
Oh.
Yeah, it's cool.
No, I have fond memories of him myself. We were honeymooning in Mexico, and he was in the series and pitched that gem in 1981.
Ooh.
And the headline because we were in a very small town in a very backwater part of Mexico, and it was Fernando Escolazo, because they were playing the Yankees.
Oh, dear.
See,
the Yankees.
The Yankees.
Here, Chris wants to give us a distinction between the Cubs and the White Sox. Hey, Chris, how are you doing?
Hey, Patty. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Welcome aboard the Sox wagon.
Oh, no. Let's not put a wagon anywhere in this situation. No horses or wheels on the wagon. But I've always rooted for baseball, so that's the thing. But I am trying to learn more about the Sox. So go ahead. What's the distinction?
When you go to a Cubs game, you go for the fanfare, the bars, the food, the ambiance.
Okay.
When you go to a Sox game, you go to a Sox game.
I think that sounds...
You go for the baseball part of it.
I think there are a lot of people that go to Cubs games that are, you know, they've got their scorecard, they've got the whole lineup, they're going through every pitch, you know, with their numbers and everything, but I think there's something to that. I would say that there seems to be much more socializing going on. Although, to be fair, I have only gone to, in my life, maybe 10 White Sox games. And most of those were Comiskey. So
my thing is, you pick a side.
Okay.
You can't be both.
Right. See?
See, I can't.
If you're If you're both, I consider you bisexual.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. So that's the thing is a lot of people on social media are like, great, now I have to listen to the host pretend like they're Sox fans now. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm not going to hide behind anything, but I do want to know more about a team that we will be broadcasting.
Well, let me ask you something, Chris. I mean, I moved here from Alabama. And, you know, Alabama, you're either an Auburn fan or an Alabama fan, and it is a blood feud. It is absolutely violent. In fact, they killed trees over it recently. So
what?
No, Toomer's Corner down in Auburn, where every time Auburn wins, they TP the oak trees.
Okay.
And an Alabama fan drove down there and killed the trees. Poisoned them.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, well, he went to jail. He was a dumbass, but, you know.
But that happened.
His daughter's name are, like, Bama, and another daughter, like...
There's something wrong.
Roll Tide. There's something.
Deep that's
wrong.
Original.
Anyway, so, but those two teams play each other. They're in the same, they're in the SEC. They play each other in the Iron Bowl every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as Cubs and Sox, until recently, they didn't even play each other.
Right? Oh, no, that's the weirdest things that cross.
So where does this hate come from?
It's like Eddie said, north side against south side.
Yeah.
All right.
It's very distinct. When I met Speaker Madigan, when I did that interview last year, I had just recently found out, I never looked very closely at my dad's birth certificate, and I realized he was actually born south side Irish, and his family moved to the north side.
Is that right?
I never knew that my dad was south side Irish.
How are you not a Sox fan?
And I mentioned it to Speaker Madigan, and it like won him over. He's like, you're Irish? I'm like, yeah, I just, you know, that's my dad was.
Well, I got to tell you, to the day I die, things will not change. It will always be Comiskey. It will never be lower rate or whatever.
What do you think, Chris? What do you call it?
It's always Comiskey.
Yes.
It'll always be the Sears Tower. It'll always be the Hancock. Those are staggered staples.
Unfortunately, Macy's, it's weird when you go and you're like, is this Marshall Fields? They don't understand what you're saying.
We walked by the Hancock last night. We went to a play out there.
It'll always be Hancock.
Yes. I mean, seriously, you're going to expect me to call it 875 North Michigan Avenue. Really? No.
So there you go. Chris, thank you so much for, and I'm going to need your help throughout the entire season, okay?
I'm with you, Patty.
Wait, Chris, Scott was also asking, it's Go Cubs Go. Do the White Sox have a thing?
It's kind of like the Cubs. Wait till next year, lately.
Hey, they That's won fair. This century.
That's fair. But, all right.
We're coming. We're coming. Trust me. We're on a good track.
All right. Well, let's stay on track together. Have a great night.
You too.
Thanks. More after this on 720 WGN. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Again, that number is 312-981-7200. We're talking baseball. Baseball's back on the air on WGN. We're going to be broadcasting. I love that you're excited about it, Scott. You know who else is excited because he's in warm weather is our very own Kevin Powell from training camp. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm great. And I know this is horrible to say considering you guys are back in Chicago, but it's not as warm as I had hoped here in Arizona. I will say that.
Okay. What do you mean?
We've had gloomy weather and rainy, and it's just I want to burn out here. I want my pasty, white, Polish skin to burn out here, Patty. That's what I want.
All
right. It's not happening right now.
Fair enough. It's look, it's how long are you out there? Maybe there's still time for it to turn around for you.
There is. I think it's supposed to be sunshine for the next few days. I'm here through Tuesday, so.
Oh, it's a nice long stay. Are you staying at a nice joint, nice hotel?
Yeah, it gets the job done. It's not the Four Seasons, but whatever. I basically am at Sox camp or Cubs camp pretty much all day, so I just basically need a place to sleep, and that's about it. And bathe once in a while. That's fairly important.
I'm sure there's a bunch of folks running around who don't get the time. So
that's right.
Just have your bar and try to meet the standard.
I'm surviving somehow.
Exactly.
Yes. Keep me in your prayers.
I will. Yes, Scott. Did you want to ask Kevin?
Well, Kevin, I just wanted to ask, where is the Sox Stadium in Phoenix area?
It's in Glendale, which is about 15 minutes west northwest of downtown Phoenix. And right. I'm actually staying in like southeast Mesa, which is southeast of Phoenix. So I pretty much could not have picked a worse place to stay in terms of proximity to the White Sox.
Well, it could
stadium.
Have been New Mexico.
So, yeah. Yes, pretty much. So, but
I mean, yeah,
it's not exactly close to Glendale, but Glendale. They have an awesome spot. It's a Camelback Ranch, which was built, I think, in 2009, and it's actually the White Sox and the Dodgers' spring training home. And it's just a massive complex. There's the ballpark's in the middle, and then To one side is all these fields and the White Sox training complex, and on the other side there's a whole another area of baseball fields and the Dodgers complex as well. It's a pretty cool place.
That's amazing. Well, if you're down in Mesa, you're near the Cubs facility, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like just 5-10 minutes away from Sloan Park, which is also awesome. They did a really cool job, and it does. The hotel next to it, they call it Wrigleyville West. And Sloan Park does definitely have some Wrigley vibes to it. I tell all my friends and family, I'm like, look, I know spring break, people think beaches and Florida and things like that, but Scottsdale, Phoenix, this time of year, it is perfect. If you golf, if you love baseball, if you love hiking, any of that stuff, this is a perfect time of the year. It's an awesome spring break trip if anybody's interested in planning a trip. I love it out here.
If you host a radio show and perhaps you love baseball, you know, maybe a station could send, you know, a producer and a host out there to, I'm just saying for next year, now that they're white, and maybe they're
a cartoonist.
Lobbying for that, Patty. I would lobby hard for that, because it is beautiful this time of year, and it's a lot of fun.
We are hanging out with Kevin Powell. Kevin, I've got to take a break in the news. Do you mind hanging on?
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. And then Mike, who's got a comment about the Sox, is it going to hold on, I hope, as well. More after this on 720 WGN.
We had a huge response giving away Ed Sheeran tickets earlier this week, so we're going to do it again coming up Friday after 6:05.
He's coming to Soldier Field in October.
Susie Sunshine will count our money.
We'll roll out a bubbly Carnarvon wagon.
And it's Live Music Friday.
The Rokon Show has free Ed Sheeran tickets tomorrow afternoon on 720 WGN.
The all-new Liberty Subaru in Libertyville is celebrating their grand opening in a big way. Get grand opening savings on brand new Subarus, like a new 2018 Subaru Forester 2.5i, lease for only $145 a month for 36 months, or a new 2018 Subaru Outback 2.5i, lease for only $129 a month for 36 months, or 0% for 63 months. You pick a new Subaru Forester 2.5i, only $145 a month for 36 months, a new Subaru Outback 2.5i, only $129 a month for 36 months, or get 0% for 63 months. Our huge grand opening savings are happening now at the all-new Liberty Subaru in Libertyville. You've got to come see it. Liberty Subaru in Libertyville on Route 176 in Libertyville. LibertyAutoCitySubaru.com.
Forester and Outback, 36-month lease, $25.95 due at signing. Includes first payment, no security deposit required, plus tax, title, license, and dock fee. 10,000 miles per year with approved credit on select models. $15.87 per thousand finance with zero down.
Beginning in 1930, it's the world's longest-running Christian outreach radio program, and it's right here on WGN, the Lutheran Hour, Sunday morning at 6.
Are you one of those folks celebrating Valentine's Day this weekend? Anderson's Candy Shop can help. There's still time to bring home the gift that will show your love that they really matter. You can still order from Anderson's Candy Shop for your romantic date this weekend. Both of Anderson's shops in Richmond and Barrington are open late this week and still have full selections of heart-shaped boxes filled with Anderson's award-winning chocolates, salted caramels, vanilla creams, chocolate-covered cherries, and the newly famous Lars Bar. The turtle-like chocolate was just named one of the 20 foods you must eat by the Chicago Tribune. Plus, Anderson's, I've already eaten them, so I need more. I need a bigger list, Scott. They knew them all from Boston. I have a quick question. Are we not going to be able to play like Go Cubs Go anymore? Kevin, are we allowed, because we're no longer carrying the Cubs and we're now carrying the White Sox, are we no longer allowed to play like Go Cubs Go?
Oh, of course you can.
Okay, good. I'm not sure. I haven't gotten any guidelines
just
yet.
Just not on the air.
What?
That's a good point. Of course you can. I mean, it's WGN. It's Chicago either way. I mean, that's my opinion. You could probably check it. It's above my pay grade, Patty.
I'm going to need some rules here. I was telling Todd, and I'm following a lot of the reactions on social media. I'm not going to lie about who I am, but I do love baseball. It's, you know, when I'm so in it, you know, people were talking about how Cubs fans don't go to the games to watch. They go to socialize. I get that. There are some fans that are like that. I'm not one of them. I mean, I do a little bit of both.
Yeah, I think that all stadiums are like that.
I think so too.
I'm serious though. Like, I think the Cubs probably have that rap because Because it is a tourist attraction.
Yes.
And that's not a knock against the Cubs. It's not a knock against the team or anything like that. It is. It's Wrigley Field. Look, I mean, there are times, and I'm not kidding, that when I cover games and it's late at night and we finish talking to people in the press box and in the clubhouse and stuff like that, and I'm walking out of the press box and the ballpark's empty. And it's, midnight, and there's just basically a cleanup crew, and I'll just sit in the seats for like 10 minutes and just soak it in. I know that might sound cheesy and kind of dorky, but I love it. Like, I love Wrigley Field. Like, I do the same thing at Sox Park, too. I just, there's something about it. So,
yes.
No, I just think that it's, yeah, I mean, I get that that's like a natural reaction for certain people to not try to knock the Cubs, but. I mean, come on, it's Wrigley Field. It's an incredible place.
I agree. Well, we have a listener on the line who's been holding on for a bit. Mike wanted to join us and talk about the Sox. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
I enjoy the topic. I do want to say it's great. I'm so happy Gian is going to be carrying the Sox. It's great stuff. I'm a lover of baseball my entire life as well. Originally born at Southside and actually had moved. I moved in '89, but I still follow the Sox and Cubs, religiously. Mostly Sox. I'm a Sox fan.
Uh-huh.
But here, I wanted to share some thoughts. I think a few of the other callers had talked, and I agree about geographic, South Side, North Side, family, generational. You know, you're going to carry that on many times. There are sometimes I'll see some families where, oh, one child likes the Cubs, the rest are Sox fans.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So those occur. But here's what I just wanted to share. And the previous caller, I think he's right. It's a beautiful park. Wrigley Field is a gorgeous park. Again, I'm a Sox fan, but I'm happy to say it's proud to have it in Chicago. I mean, Wrigley's great. And it's only getting nicer. I mean, they're doing so many improvements. But I think it went a little deeper. I think there's some social issues that exist between the two, and maybe even some economic pieces that are involved.
Mike, I think that the Cubs fans and Kevin, I think I feel like Scott feels like the old guy in the room, but I mean, I'm getting there. I think that the Cubs got a reputation, especially in the 80s and 90s, of drawing a lot of yuppies because the ticket prices went up, right. and it became more of a social venue, like some of the other callers were saying.
I think that's right on, and I can maybe add a little bit to this. Is that I think it locale. The park is surrounded by very nice, enjoyable bars. You might get there before pregame and then postgame, and I think that's part of the experience of it. And maybe yuppies were enjoying that, which is fine. That's not a bad thing. It's just. Opposed to where Comiskey, I grew up at Comiskey and then later, went to USL, is that there are bars, but they're far away.
Absolutely.
You have to seek them out as opposed to just walk to them.
Yeah.
Mike, to speak to the socioeconomic part of it all, I think the cliche is North Shore yuppie versus blue collar South Side, right? I mean, that's just basically like the natural instinct for all of us in Chicago. Like that's what a lot of people think. I will say this, that you're right. Like Wrigley is an entire community. It's not just the field. It's not the ballpark. It's everything. It's blocks and blocks surrounding the ballpark and everything it has to offer. Now, I will say this about Sox Park, that it probably doesn't have as much to offer in the surrounding areas. But when you do get in some ways, it is a better viewing experience because it is a little bit more modern and it has a certain things that Wrigley can't offer. I'm not saying one's better than the other, but they're completely different, where Wrigley like is a total destination, not just the ballpark by itself, but I think actually to the credit of Sox Park Guaranteed Rate, like when you go in there, that's the experience. So, I think they both have the pros and cons on each side.
Mike, have you ever had the experience of the climbing wall they call the upper seats?
Patty, is that as bad as not being able to see most of the field when you're on the lower deck in the back row?
I know.
Right. And but I, again, I would say you're right on target in terms of each has its own characteristics, the fields, the parks, the area. And I'll add this slightly. When you add to and when it was built, USL, and now guaranteed rate, but that they had they try to cater to the younger children, you know.
A lot I agree.
Of the kids' experiences, and which I thought, you know, that was great. They're trying to really look for the whole family outing. They try to family Sundays, et cetera.
So I agree.
I think they're trying to reach different parts, and that the teams right now, you know, are different parts of the maturity level of each of the players as a groups. Overall, I think here's my thought. I thought was kind of a neat thing. I know WGN has a wonderful, wonderful tradition of Cubs announcing. You know, I grew up here in Jack Brickhouse, although I'm a White Sox fan again, love baseball. So I love to hear hey, et cetera. But so I think GN now is saying, hey, you know what? We love baseball. We're also taking in the Sox. We have this Cub tradition, but we want to broadcast baseball. So. That's a good, I think, olive branch to the whole city. Say, you know what, just embrace the game.
And yes.
There's always going to be differences. Those differences probably won't stop. But, you know, not everyone is blue-collar that goes to USL.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Mike, I want to thank you so much. We only got a couple minutes with Kevin because he's out in Arizona. Mike, thank you so much for your insight about the Sox and our new relationship with them at WGN. I think he's got, I mean, there's a lot to that, Kevin. And I agree with him. It is more of a family-friendly field at Comiskey.
Well, Comiskey feels like your living room. It's like where a person can spread out and live, and there's room. It's like the old West, and Wrigley is more like, you know, an eastern city, congested and crowded.
All right, back off of Wrigley.
I didn't say I didn't like that.
I mean, everybody's Mike. Great call by Mike, by the way. Maybe he should get a gift card or something because that was an outstanding phone call by Mike.
Can you give Mike a gift card from Apt Electronics? We have a gift card.
Yes, I know. Everything you guys have said is spot on. Like, I mean, we can all argue what's better or what's worse, but you have to understand, like, have some perspective with both. You know what I mean? And I think you guys understand that clearly, that Wrigley is an historical piece of architecture, really. And then, of course, a historic ballpark. And then, you know, on the White Sox side of things, I think they get that. You know what I mean? So they've done everything they possibly could do, whether it's promotional stuff. The fireworks have sort of become a huge tradition for White Sox.
Oh,
fans.
Yeah.
Oh, it's firework. It's Saturday firework. Like that. Growing up, that was a huge thing. My dad would be like, hey, we got tickets, and guess what? It's fireworks Saturday, whatever. You know, we watch the game, we watch fireworks. Like, so I think the White Sox have pretty much done everything they could possibly do. Winning, of course, helps, but you know, there's pros and cons to both. I'm not going to sit here and say one's better than the other. Wrigley, of course, is an icon, and I think, I think in hindsight, the White Sox probably would have liked to done certain things a little bit differently when that stadium was built, because right after that there was a whole wave of, you know, different style of contemporary stadiums that were being built, like in Baltimore and
Milwaukee,
LA, and Milwaukee. So. But I would say that you have to give the Sox credit because from when it was built, which was 91, correct me if I'm wrong, until now, like every year there are upgrades there. Every single year. They don't stand still there. Every year you go there, there's going to be something new. And I think we can all agree, including you, Patty, a diehard Cub fan, you are going to get better food on the South Side than you are at Wrigley Field. I mean, come on, let's all agree on that one.
Yeah. I go to one of the things I look forward to at Wrigley are those hot dogs on the grilled onions, and a beer. I mean, I don't need much more than that at a baseball game. But I guess I will expand my dietary needs per the Sox menu.
Every so often during the winter in Chicago, I have these withdrawals where I wake up in the middle of the night and I just start craving the scent of Polish sausage and grilled onions from 35th and Shields. Like, I need Yankee Candle to make that scent somehow possible.
Kevin, can I just say, as a woman, if I walked into your house and I smelled Polish sausage burning, I would
and
be a little concerned.
And onions.
And onions. Yeah. Kevin, actually, we don't have, I don't want to keep you too long because I know it's getting late. We'll definitely
I'll
check.
I'll stay with you guys. I'm good. All right. Stay as long as you need.
All right, then hold on 1 second. We're gonna take a break here, and we've got more callers on the line. More after this on 720 WGN. Baseball's back on WGN Radio. We are now the brand new broadcast flagship for the Chicago White Sox. And I know that's hard for a lot of Cubby fans. I'm with you, but it's baseball. This is exciting. Plus, it means warm weather is right around the corner. And of course, somebody who gets to enjoy the warm weather right now before the rest of us do is Kevin Powell on the line. And I am jealous. I've got to find a way to get out to spring. I've never been to spring training.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Oh, it's
so fun.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I lived in Arizona for years, and just it was the best.
Yeah, Kevin.
Yeah, the weather's perfect this time of year. I will say this: a quick plug up, Pat. We just put up at WGNRadio.com and I don't know if you mentioned this earlier, the full spring training radio broadcast schedule. So if anybody's interested. They can see all the spring training game dates and times and all that that'll be aired on WGN Radio. And then, of course, we'll have every regular season game. But that just released a little bit earlier tonight, the full spring training schedule on WGN. And I'm just looking through it, and I know you said earlier it's baseball. Like, that's what I'm so excited about. Like, I get so pumped this time of year for baseball, whether we were announcing this relationship with the White Sox or not. I get so excited about baseball this time of year.
I agree. You can feel it. You can feel it in your bones. Victor has some thoughts to share with us. He is our resident historian of Chicago. Hey, Victor, how are you doing tonight?
Okay, a couple comments.
Okay.
I went to my first game. I'm originally West Side or Italian, so I went to work on the South Side with the South Side Irish. Whole new ball game. I would talk about my neighborhood, and they would talk about their churches or their schools. They would identify by that, and I would say, I'm from this corner. They'd say, what's that got to do with it? And I went to two other factors, that Southside area was already an old part of Chicago, and where Cubs Park is located, that was not part of Chicago till the end of 1889, because it was the town of Lakeview, so it wasn't even Chicago until then. And the biggest thing, when we were sitting there in the game and I first started going in the South Side, I'd say, what the hell is that smell? Very strong. The Stockyards.
Oh, yeah.
Which were back of the thing. And I remember going, visiting a woman there, and I said, lady, what the heck is that smell there? She'd been living there at Canaryville, but she's all my life. She said, what do you mean that smell? So I think all of those things enter into the picture.
There you go.
Well, I'll just say this, Patty, you have the best listeners, and I already know Victor's the kind of guy I could sit at a bar with right now.
Yes.
And for like 3 hours straight and just slug back beers. I love it.
Well, we were talking the other day about the presidents, and I asked a couple of my friends, what president of the United States, when he died, was not a citizen of the United States, based on a technicality.
Oh, I didn't know it was going to be a quiz.
I wasn't expecting to go this angle with Victor. I don't know. Is that a trick question, or is that like an actual
trivia
question?
But it's true.
I didn't study.
Was that president a White Sox fan? That's my follow-up question.
All right, Victor, what's the answer?
John Tyler.
Really?
Oh, okay. Right. He was elected to the Confederate Congress. It was actually on his way to serve on it when he died, right?
He was already on the Congress. He died during the Civil War. He never swore back in. And where most of them did, they'd raise their hands. So he never swore back the allegiance to the Union.
Many of the listeners may be familiar with John Tyler because he was the Tippecanoe and Tyler II.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he was VP. The president died, and he went into, he said, no, I'm a Virginian. He went back, and that, you know, all kind of ties in.
I you know what's so funny about this? It doesn't get any better for me than combining baseball and history. I'm a happy girl. Let's get to Larry's call before we let Kevin go and get to the news. Hey, Larry, how you doing?
Hey, It's good. How are you?
Very well.
Larry Lyft driver here. I drove you from the Irish Festival. With
oh, hey, Larry.
Sprint. Yeah. Hey, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
A couple things real quick. I'm also friends with Jenny, the Windy Kitty Cafe owner.
Oh, cool.
And after she was on your show, she told me, Patty is the perfect human being. Perfect.
Aww.
Anyway.
It's true.
I lean the way that you lean, and I always tease my friends that Republicans are the greatest rationalizers ever in history, but the White Sox, I get it's great for the White Sox. It's great for WGN. I'm a Cub and an Oriole fan. I don't like the Sox, but oh my God, the rationalizing going on with the White Sox is killing me.
I know. I know. It's baseball.
I'm happy for y'all.
What do you mean, Larry? What do you mean? I got to hear this out. What do you mean, Larry?
Please. I mean, come on. Trying to make the White Sox equal or similar or
no one has done that in any way on this station or even in this show. Who is trying to do that, Larry?
I'm trying to get into the mindset of being a broadcaster.
I've been listening since when was the announcement? Tuesday or Monday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday morning at 10 a.m.
Tuesday morning. Okay, so from Tuesday till
or Wednesday,
now, that's when I've been
yeah.
hearing it. A lot of people, and Patty at least is pretty straight with her feelings. But I will admit, I'm very open-minded. The greatest Polish sausage I've ever had in my life was at Sox. But the food is crap at Wrigley. I remember walking around Wrigley. There was not one stand with brown mustard. Like, come on.
I gotta run, Larry. That cracks me up. And thank Jenny from Winnie the Kitty. I've got to run because Kevin's got to go, and we have another guest. And
Patty, I'll stay another hour if you want. This is too fun. I love your listeners.
Oh, I have the best listeners, Larry. You're one of the perfect callers. If Jenny thinks I'm one of the perfect humans, you're a perfect caller, Larry. Have a great evening. Okay, thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. It's pretty late. It's not very early, Scott. I don't know if you know this.
It's pretty late.
It's not very late.
It's Trey Late.
Was that a better name for the show? Was Trey
no,
Late?
No, pretty late. It's a perfect name for the show.
Do you think
show.
I should have done Trey Late?
As like French?
Trey oui. Late.
Ooh.
Trey. All people be like, oh,
ooh.
You're all French now.
Yeah. Yeah. Ez and I were talking about this the other night. Apparently, people have an issue with the name of the show, Pretty Late. And Scott, it's okay. People, you know what? Look, people need to put stuff somewhere, and if it's on social media or whatever, right? But here's the thing is that, so here's how it happened. I was at an event and for Senator Katowski, he was getting an award, and people kept coming up to me going, hey, I know you have a radio show. Why is it on so late? And I'm like, well, it's not so late. It's just, it's kind of late. It's pretty late. And I had to say it six times to people. Oh my God, you're on so late. Why are you on so late? So Late was not a great name for the show,
no. But
I kept saying it's not so late. It's pretty late. And that's how we came up with the name for the show. That was back in 2015, I think.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was how I came up with the name. I was trying really hard not to get frustrated with people. Like, I have a choice. Anyway, we don't always have a choice in the way we are represented, the way people perceive us. And I think that there is show business in particular suffers from that because it's a battle, right? It's who's in control, who decides who the stars are, what stories are going to be featured. And since 1928, the Oscar nominations and the representation of diversity has been lagging. And joining us on the line is Miguel Garcia Castillo, who wants to talk to us about that. Hey, Miguel, how are you doing tonight?
How are you guys doing? Good night.
Good night. Where are you calling from right now, sir?
I'm calling from San Francisco, but I'm actually Chicago. I live in Chicago.
Oh, you do? What do you do?
A little bit of traveling. Keeping the weather, I guess, right?
Yeah. Do you look at your calendar? You go, where do I need to be during the months of January and February, that is not Chicago.
Exactly. Got a little escape, but no, I always like going back home.
We spoke to the woman who created the hashtag #OscarSoWhite. What have you always seen movies and television, storytelling on so many different ways, and thought, is this where are we? There's a great show by a guy named Brian Quijada who it's called Where Did We Sit on the Bus, right? There's always these conversations about Rosa Parks and where blacks sat on the bus, and he's like, well, where did the Latinos sit? Did you grow up watching movies like that? Like where am I?
Yeah, I think it's we're living in a pretty interesting time when it comes to entertainment and the movies. But as I was growing up, especially as a kid, somebody who grew up both in Mexico and the United States, it was always interesting to see the lack of the details, right, and the representation and the entertainment that we watch. So I certainly grew up with that in mind, and it's something that sticks with you even as now as we are all kind of growing up, I guess.
It is. It's something that I, you know, I'm trying to think of like who I identified with when I was a kid. You know, often Latinos would be, you know, maids and not necessarily the leads in very many movies.
Absolutely. Sometimes you learn how to connect with other characters. I think just through the lack of peer representation, and it teaches you a little bit of the context of the growing community that we live in, especially as the Hispanic Latino, the Latino community.
I agree. You know what was so funny? When I my favorite character on television was Wonder Woman, and to my delight, when I you know found out that she was like me, she is of Scottish and Mexican descent, I was like, no wonder I loved her so much.
And you twirl and have the lasso.
I do. Well, I don't have the incredible blue eyes that Linda Carter has, but I had no idea. And I think it helped me a lot. It helped my for me, I was like, okay, I kind of get that a little bit. So tell us about, Miguel, when you see the nominations come out, how do you feel about, let's just focus perhaps first on this year's list of nominations.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at this year, I think it's definitely another step forward, right? While the nomination process and I think just the nomination culture is not completely there yet. I think they're definitely making some strides. And I think you mentioned 1928, clearly from the beginning of, especially from the Academy Awards at the beginning of it to where we are today, I think we've made some serious strides. But what I think the nominations continue to do is, for me, is they highlight the importance of quality as much as quantity. And I think you're starting to see more quality roles, more quality opportunities, more quality projects for the minority community. And they're able to express and to really shine and really show their skills. So to me, I see that as a big part of the story of where we are today.
I agree. I think that, when we look at my son has gotten into this every time there's an Academy Award season that rolls around. He starts going through all the movies he hasn't seen. Like, he's like, when are we going to, I love when my 14-year-old says, when are we going to watch Casablanca? I mean, it's cool, right? And he asked when we could watch Gone with the Wind, and I'm like, when I have 4 hours. But I think Gone with the Wind is remarkable in the sense that Hattie McDaniel, who was the first Black woman to win an Academy Award, that was a problem. Like, they didn't even want to seat her at the first Academy Awards, did they?
No, absolutely not. And I think you were mentioning, and where do I fit in the bus? I think that was really the literal manifestation was that they didn't even want her in the awards at that point. But I think we grow, and I think as a community, as a culture, I think we continue to grow. And what we see today, and I think it's also great timing as we talk about the impact that something like Black Panther is having, just not only in the Marvel universe but in the movie world. I think we've seen the giant steps that we've taken and really spearheaded by, in many ways, the African-American community, which is really inspiring for somebody in the Latino community like myself.
Well, and I wondered about that because Bridesmaid was a huge success. So everyone thought, okay, great. Now Hollywood's going to get it that women-led comedies are the way to go. And there have been some. But, 12 Years a Slave, a lot of people said, okay, great. Now people know that people want to see stories about people of color or The Help. And I'm curious because this movie, Black Panther, is on a track to possibly be one of the biggest movie. Oh, they're thinking $200 million in 4 days. Do you think that this will translate into other stories, not just about superheroes, but about Black stories, about Hispanic stories?
Yeah, I think it will, and obviously with the scale that a Marvel movie kind of brings to the table, I think it's a little bit unfair to say that model is going to be replicated in many different ways, right? I think that's unrealistic. But I actually see movies like Get Out as a really great example. I see things like Lena White is doing and the amount of projects that she has on TV, from The Shy to the new show that she's got picked up on TBS. I even see in a weird connected way what Pixar is able to do with Coco and that entire storyline. So I think the steps are there, and the opportunities will get there, but we need the studios and we need the people with the checkbooks to be willing to take the risk for projects like that. And I think Black Panther will play a role in that, because they'll see the amount of success that it can have on both the box office and with the community itself.
We are talking to Miguel Garcia Castillo, and we are talking about the Academy Awards diversity. If you have any thoughts, give us a call, 312-981-7200. Miguel, do you mind holding on the line for another segment?
Absolutely not. It's okay.
I want to talk to you about your skincare line and how you got involved. Scott, I'm keeping you. I'm locking the door. More after this on 720 WGN. It is the Academy Awards season. I don't know if you caught up on all of your movie viewing. I think I've watched a majority of the acting categories, and Get Out is a great movie. I think that Lady Bird is wonderful. Although, to our conversation, joining me is Scott Stantis, the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And on the line with us is Miguel Garcia Castillo, who is talking, we're talking about diversity at the Academy Awards. And there's a conversation, Miguel, have you seen this, about Lady Bird and how it's pretty much real women have curves?
I have heard this. I've seen a lot of the banter behind it. It's actually really, there's a really spot on kind of argument, I think.
For those not familiar, Real Women Have Curves stars America Ferrera, who, that was her breakout movie. Mm. It's a great story about her sort of really strained relationship with her mother, what her mother expects from her, which sounds a little bit like the story of Lady Bird. The journey that America Ferrera takes in Real Women Have Curves is similar to Lady Bird's, where, you know, she's kind of trying to figure out who she is, what she wants to do in life. She ends up going off to New York by herself, which also happens in Lady Bird. So, yeah, I thought that was an interesting conversation that people had. And not to negate the writer's story in Lady Bird either. It's a great story. They're both great stories. I think Real Women Have Curves definitely was recognized as a great film at the time. Don't you think, Miguel?
Yeah, I think so. I think for a little while I had a little bit more of a cult following, right? But and I think you're absolutely right. I don't think this is to discredit anybody involved in the Lady Bird trip, but I think it showcases for me the parallels of storytelling and the feelings, no matter who you're talking about. I think that there's a parallel that I think becomes a universal truth that gives you a good and a great story to put on television or in a movie.
I agree. Can you tell us a little bit about your company, Avia?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Avia Skincare. Listen, I think we've been talking about minority representation in Hollywood, one of the big things that we set ourselves out to do was we wanted to create a premium luxury skincare product that truly worked for women with different levels of melanin in their skin and different skin tones. And as we know, there's so many out there. I mean, there's a lot of clutter in the world in terms of skincare, but one of the things that we really set out to do is really study the biology of melanin and of skin to ensure that the formulation and the work really penetrated and really kind of provided a service that women of color deserve every day. So we went on a 5.5-year journey, found the different botanicals and ingredients like neem and turmeric and different other botanicals and put them all together. And we're to be launching this brand. We launched it about 2 months ago, and we're seeing some amazing feedback and amazing results from women all over the nation that we're really excited to be sharing with everybody.
Well, congratulations on that. I saw Scott sort of go, turmeric.
Turmeric. Yeah, I was thinking turmeric. Well, I'm also have high melanin in my. I'm Basque. We're a swarthy people. So part of me is going, what's the name of this stuff again?
Avia.
Hey, we're going to have to send you some. It's like we don't discriminate with Avia, so we're all good.
So let me say this, because I had an esthetician tell me this a while ago. I'm Mexican. My mother's from Mexico. My father was Irish. So people always think, oh, well, you're light-skinned because your dad was Irish. Only if you look at the pictures of when I was little, I was always really, really dark. And a woman, an esthetician told me that, she asked me when I started using skincare products. And my mother started me on moisturizers when I was like 14 or 15 years old. She was like, Patricia, yo te care your skin. You have it all the time. And I had a woman tell me that she thinks that my skin got lighter because of the chemicals that were in the, because my face is really light. Is it possible, Miguel, that what I've used for the last couple decades has changed the tone of my skin?
It is, and a lot of times it almost like suppresses your natural, almost like your natural color to come through, right? So really what chemicals do is that they almost put a layer on top of that kind of stuff that gives you the sensation that it's working, but it truly isn't penetrating all the way through to revitalize your skin. So that is one of the big things that we found. And Dr. Tanush Nakra, who was the doctor behind the entire formulation and our entire formulation team, really took that into how can you really help the skin from the inside out to really allow the natural brilliance of your skin to kind of come through. So I think it's something now. I think in the longer term, the more you use this stuff, I think obviously the better or the worse it can be. So we really believe that the formulation and the ingredients play 99% of the role, and then how the technology behind it then kind of helps you enjoy everything that it has to offer.
Well, that's the thing is that I was showing this picture of myself when I played Little League Baseball when I was 10, and my skin is darker, and everyone's like, oh, well, it was summertime. No, when you take your first Little League picture, you do that in April. So it's before the sun has been out all summer. That's how dark I know, Scott. That's how dark I always was.
Especially when you're in Chicago.
Yes.
Especially when you're in Chicago. There's no sun in Chicago.
Maybe it too.
Well, it comes out eventually. So I love learning about your skincare line. What is the website? Where can people find out more about it? Is there social media?
Yeah. Everybody can go to aviaskincare.com, AVYA, or they can find us on Instagram. Obviously, hashtag Avia Stories and Avia Skincare, and you guys can see a lot of reviews and a lot of different stories of people that have been utilizing the product for the last couple of months. We wanted to make sure that we got real-time feedback from real consumers, so that's been amazingly helpful to also help us get the word out. As you know, we're small. We're a small brand competing in a big sea of a lot of competitors, so we highly depend on our fans and the people who use the product to help us tell the story. So we appreciate everybody's support.
You have a lovely website. I'm scrolling through it right now. I love the, you know, sort of connection you're making with the Academy Awards as well and diversity. I was telling Scott off the air because we are watching Academy Award winning films throughout the history of the Academy. And tonight we watched In the Heat of the Night, which is such a great story that I think needs to be rewatched by anyone needs to be watched by anyone who has never seen it. Because we think that we're so far, like people think that racism has been cured. Like, you had a black president, it's all over now. And this is the 1960s in the movie. You know, it's remarkable in the way that story unfolds. The quiet rage of Sidney Poitier, the sort of presumed blacks are not as, they're not equal, they're disposable, is actually pretty much what you feel like throughout the entire movie, don't you think? Have you seen it, Miguel?
Yeah, I have seen it. It's quite an intense movie, and I think everybody should watch it around this time, because I think there's a lot of parallels, and I think there's a lot of history repeating itself in many ways, and we just have to be aware and we have to be conscious. And I think it's about the decision making that every individual can make. And I think as we talk about it from a Hollywood perspective, you're right. We believe in this idea of empowerment, of encouragement, right, to a passion perspective. And I think in the arts and entertainment, if we can't do it here, where can we? And I think it allows us to really think bigger than each individual and more as a community as a whole.
Scott, what do you think about when? I mean, do you notice it when you?
Oh, I do. I do. I mean, I'm a pasty, doughy white guy, and so I'm watching a film and I'm watching me, you know, and so. But certainly, from a very early age, you're going, well, where's, you know? For instance, I'm a history nut. And I love Westerns. I love John Wayne films. But every cowboy film you see, they're all white.
Except for the film The Cowboys. Do you remember that one with the kids?
Yes.
There was a Latino, A. Martinez is in that movie.
Right.
And then I can't remember the name of the black actor who's in that. But go ahead. I agree.
Well, I was going to say, growing up in Southern California, too, I mean, you know, and they had Latino characters and they were preposterous. They were caricatures. I mean, most of them. It was ridiculous. But as a historian, you realize early on that they think that between 40 and 60% of cowboys, particularly following the Civil War, were black.
Right.
They were African-American. And you're just, and you're like, where are they? You know, and so it's frustrating. But I also mentioned during the break that one thing that drives me crazy, one of my very best friends growing up in San Diego was Asian. And there are no Asians in films today. It's like you don't see them. I mean, it's like the America. It reminds
Scott,
me of the
photograph. They made the Joilet Club, and you have to be happy with it.
Okay,
I'm kidding.
I guess. So it reminds me of the picture of the Golden Spike being driven that connected the Intercontinental train.
Oh, right.
There's not one Asian face in that, even though tens of thousands of Asians died building it. Not one Asian face in that photo. And that's what Hollywood reminds me of.
Yeah, and even you think about like a movie like now, like today, like Star Wars. If you look at the first Star Wars, Episode 4, you know, but a good one, and you think about the one that came out, you know, a few months ago, and you do see the cast difference and the conversation that started, even just with the multiculturalism behind what Star Wars is representing now. I think it's such a different world and how casting choices on small and big roles, which is exciting to see, to be fair.
I agree, although it was funny when the episode 7 came out, people were like, a black stormtrooper, they lost their minds.
Oh, and my gosh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it was so bizarre. It's like, take it down a notch.
Yeah, the dark side of the internet couldn't get a hold of how, you know, all the heroines and the new Star Wars movie were women, right? And
right.
They were the ones making all the hard decisions. They were the ones kind of truly kind of fighting the right battles. So I think to me that's great, and I think it's going to be a matter of time before we continue to go in that route. And I think it's exciting and it's the right place to be.
But it also just reflects what we are and
yes.
have always been. I mean, at least in my childhood, in my adult life, and the movies have never reflected that until they're starting to recently. But even then, it's sort of forced. I just want to see, like, why couldn't you, you know, have, you know, the best friend happens to be Latino, or the best friend happens to be Asian, or the lead, you know, more, even more so.
Rebel Without a Cause, I think, wasn't there a Latino actor in that? No? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
Well, I'm just trying to
remember. Salminio, no? He was not, was he Italian?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's Italian.
Man, I thought I had one.
Listen, I'm just happy that a cartoon character is named after me and, you know, for Pixar. So I think that's a really good start. So I'm happy for this year.
A very good friend of mine that worked on Coco.
Oh, it's so good.
Lalo Alcazar. And it actually, they worked, and Pixar and Disney worked really hard to get it right. And from my gringo perspective,
gorgeous.
They seem to have gotten it.
It's a gorgeous film. Miguel, I want to thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to, whenever you're back in town, I'd love to have you back in the studio to talk about this topic and your skincare line. Again, it's Avia Skincare. Go to aviaskincare.com. That's A-V-Y-A skincare.com. Have safe travels. We'd love to have you in studio sometime. Okay, Miguel?
Thank you so much. Have a great night, guys.
You as well. We'll talk to you again before the Academy Awards. We got like a month still.
Yeah.
Have a great night. Scott, are you taking leave of me as well?
I have to.
I know. Thank you for staying and talking about
movies.
Well,
thanks for having me.
I appreciate it.
This is fun.
Man, it is amazing how 36 degrees can feel balmy. You ever notice that as? You're like, oh, this feels kind of nice.
I mean, yeah.
Right?
You get into 40, it's like, let's get the shorts out.
Get it. Yeah. I'm not a flip-flop wearer, but you know what? When it hits 50, I think I'm going to do that. A scarf.
You got to let your toes breathe.
Yes. I know. Can I ask you a quick question? I didn't mean to ask this, but now that it occurs to me with I think of flip-flops. Do you sleep with your socks on?
No. I can't.
I feel claustrophobic. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't wear... This sounds terrible. I don't wear pants either.
I know that doesn't sound terrible.
Because they wrap around your leg. And they get all twisted. I can't deal with
it. Yeah, it gathers. You mean it gathers. No, I understand completely.
Yeah, because, you know, pajama pants are so loose. Usually. I can't wear pants when I go to bed.
Can I tell you, here's something I didn't think we were going to talk about. I wear, you know, God bless my husband. Because, you know, I'm sure he didn't see like the 20 years into our marriage. We've been married for 18 years, together for 23. I don't think he ever expected to like be married to a woman who basically wears like Victorian nightgowns to bed.
Oh, my mom does too. She wears those long, she's always worn those. Like I've always seen her wear those. They're like just... pajama shirts.
Oh, this is, I have one.
Like they look like, I don't know what you could call them, but they're, you know, long. Other shirts.
I wear long. There's one I wear that has like, it's purple. It's made out of, it's really comfortable. It's not that flattering, I'll be very honest. It is, but it's full length, full gown to the floor, all the way to the wrists. It has like lace cuffs and like lace across the bust.
How do you sleep with that? Just the bottom.
Oh, it's comfortable.
Because again, the bottom. Like, doesn't it twist up while you're... Do you move a lot or no?
I do. And I also have a lot, as you know, I have a lot of blankets. I have a lot of pillows.
Right. Do you just not see the difference?
There's so much going on. Yeah,
you don't know where your pajamas begin and the sheets end. And
exactly.
I see. I just wear old big t-shirts.
I should do that more often. And last night I have this, what I call it my Laura Ingalls nightgown.
Mm-hmm.
It is red and green and black flannel with like a lace neckline.
Yeah. Do you also wear a bonnet? Is that a?
I wonder if that would, no, because I sweat. That was the problem.
Oh, you think the bonnet's going to make you sweat? You're wearing like a full length gown of flannel to bed.
I woke up so sweaty this morning. I was like, I hate my body.
You have that heating blanket.
Well, and that's the thing is, I get into bed really, I'm cold. Like, right, I change and I'm freezing. I turn on the heated blanket, which Steve calls my dead harp seal.
Well, you should turn it on.
Yes, before I get into bed. I do.
Right.
I do. I'm trying
to, like, you warm up a car.
Right.
You warm up your bed.
There are times when when I'm in the car on the way home, I start thinking about my heated bed. I get so excited. I'm like,
well, that's nice. Maybe you should get a mattress pad that's cooling.
Oh.
But then the top will be warm. I don't know. You could probably start some sort of thunderstorm.
I like
or something in your bed.
A hot front and the cold front meet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a rainforest.
Ask Tom Skilling. I'm not quite sure how that works, but something will happen.
And again, not something I thought I would ever talk about. Maybe I've mentioned this once on the year, that there was a heat wave in 1995 when Steve and I were very young and we just started dating. And he had a window air conditioner. Now, if you guys remember, the heat was 105. It was crazy.
Yeah, I remember that. People were dying. Yeah.
Yes. They had to use... They had to use paddy wagons as morgues. They didn't have enough room in the morgues. Mm-hmm. And there was a day when I was hanging out at his place, and let's say I slept over. It ended well. We're married now, so I think I'm okay to tell this story. I slept over at his house, so you know how heat rises. We were perfectly comfortable in bed, right? We were cozying and whatever, and we go to stand up, and it was at like about chest level that it was extreme heat. So if you were ducked under, you could actually feel the level at which the air conditioner worked and where the heat went. It pressed down against it.
Right. Well, because heat rises. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to distinguish. Like, here's as far as cold goes, and this is where heat's like, you shall not pass.
It's wow.
It felt angry, like just in the middle of your body.
I mean, yeah, it was.
It was an angry heat. Yeah, but the thing is with this weather, I've been using the flannel and pajamas and then my heated blanket, and then I wake up because the sun is bearing down on my glass, the windows by my bed, and then it heats up my whole part of the bedroom. So I wake up sweaty because the temperature it fluctuates so much right now.
You should turn down your heat.
Yeah, but then the boys, right? They don't necessarily.
Well, you got to get them some dead harp seal blankets.
Declan does not keep blankets on him. He just throws them off. And Griffin, too. Griffin ends up, he sleeps
with. Kick him off.
He kicks him off. No, he like spins all the way around. He ends up on the floor. You know, he's. Dangling.
He does or the sheets?
He does everything. He's like all over. No, I'll see him. Like, I come in there. He's like dangling backwards with his head off the bed. And his body is like sideways and his feet are on the wall. It's very strange.
My boyfriend, he doesn't. I'll come home after work and he'll be no sheets and just sleeping, dead asleep. I'm like, how are you sleeping and comfortable? I need to have sheets on me.
I need something. I need something.
And by the way, I have flannel sheets.
How do you like those?
They're great.
I'm not allowed.
How? But you can wear the big flannel gown.
Because it's on me. Steve doesn't want to sleep in flannel sheets.
Oh, does he run hot?
He runs hot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So does Declan. That's why Declan doesn't keep blankets on him. They both run very hot.
I need all of them. Yeah. My boyfriend runs hot, too, because he can't take the Mexican blanket. I love having that thing on, but he hates it. It gets too warm for him.
Can you explain the Mexican blanket?
It's a very heavy blanket. So... This is like, you know how they have weighted blankets now? Like, that's the thing. I'm like, this thing was heavy.
Yes.
This is the original weighted blanket. But yeah, it's, I don't even know what it's technically made of, but it's very soft and heavy. And I usually, I use it as a layer and I'm good.
Yes. No, I have, again, as though, if you try my baby harp seal, I think you would enjoy the heated.
I got my Mexican blanket.
No, you're right.
Usually there's a lion on it or some sort of Mayan princess.
That's
mine has roses.
They often remind me of the side of the vans from the 1970s.
Right. Yes. Very much so. It's like someone's not spray painted. What is that called?
Oh, what is that called?
They do it on shirts too. Airbrushing. Airbrushed.
Michael, what do you, I don't mean to get personal with, and I'm not sure if HR has cleared this conversation. How do you sleep? And what do you sleep in, Michael?
I like the weighted blankets that you are both talking about.
Get yourself a Mexican blanket,
get
man.
Get a Mexican blanket.
That's a little too weighted.
They are a bit much. They okay. kind of, yeah, it's a little suffocating sometimes.
I used to sleep with a quilt that my grandma made me for years, and that was the perfect amount of weight because, you know, it was all the patchy stuff, and then it just started to come unraveled, and then I'd bring girls over to my apartment, and they'd be like, what is this thing on your bed?
You know you can sew it up, right?
Oh, no, that's totally out of the question. I'm going to sew it.
All right.
I got to learn how to sew first then. Yeah, I also sleep very hot. So I have, usually I take it down to about 65 degrees and then I just bundle up really tight. And I love that cold feeling of your face being frozen and then your body being really warm.
I have to agree with that.
It's supposed to make you feel, it's supposed to, you sleep better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also sleep with, this is so weird. I sleep with one leg out, which is why, as I think I like the nightgowns better. Oh, this is so weird. Because I can hike up the nightgown and my leg is out of
right.
the blankets.
Well, because it'd be weird if you had pajama pants on.
Yeah,
you
I can't
could
do that.
Hike it up. But that'd be so it would be all scrunchy material.
Yeah, and in places where things shouldn't be scrunched. More for this on 720 WGN. I want to make sure we get to some of our texters who are joining the show as well. I want to thank Michael for making sure we have those in front of us. I know that we were talking the first hour quite a bit, and not just tonight, but also last night. Somebody's complaining that they're tired of talking about we're talking about the Sox for 3 days in a row. I guess it seems like oversaturation. It hasn't been 3 days because we just announced it yesterday, Wednesday morning. So it's been almost, it's not yet 48 hours even, but I don't know what to tell you. I love baseball. That's part of the show. We've talked about baseball many times on this show. We've gone for one segment, a whole hour. We've done entire shows on baseball. So I appreciate the perspective. But yes, I am excited. I'm not thrilled that it's a White Sox because I do love the Cubs. I'm with the Cubby fans who missed WGN carrying those games. But you know what? It's baseball, and that's exciting to me. And it's Chicago baseball. And, I'm not one of those people who says I love both teams. I don't. I love my Cubbies. But I'm very excited about carrying the White Sox games. And I get to go to Comiskey. And from the 312, someone called it Sox Park. No, it is still Comiskey. I'm with you on that. One listener texted from the 608, Patty, one of the things you'll have to learn is the strange thing the Sox have called the designated hitter. It's not just the Sox. It's the whole, it's the American League. I don't get it. 630, the Chicago White Sox broadcast on WGN Radio from 1927 through 1943 with the legendary Jack Brickhouse, who was the announcer. So Go White Sox Go White Sox is the song. Thank you. I need to find that song. Here from the 773, why are Cub fans upset? The Cubs ran from WGN Radio to that sports station down the dial. Fair enough. 224, please, please stop talking about how you guys are carrying the broadcast. Who cares? You act like it's some big, awesome adventure. Hey, Ez, I don't have to tell people. I'm not acting. The one thing I can't do is pretend anything. I have not pretended as though I'm thrilled it's the White Sox. I'm excited it's baseball. Do you think I think that I've gotten that across?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn about the White Sox. I'll get there. I am excited about baseball. Don't tell you. I've been playing baseball since I was 5 years old, and I was the only girl on my little league team at Norwood Park. I actually posted a picture on my Facebook page. You'll see me in a White Sox shirt. So there you go.
Yeah. Also, still going to talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Just going to it's going to happen. Just like when I talk about movies, people don't say, stop talking about movies. And we'll find other things. Wait a minute. We'll be back with something else. From our friend in Houston, Texas, here's a message that we got. Hi, Patty. So glad baseball is back. Yay. I guess your horizons will expand a bit. Like Martha said, and that's a good thing. Will those of us in far-flung locales be able to hear on iHeart? That's a really good question. Michael, do you happen to know if the White Sox games will also be broadcast on any of our other platforms like iHeart?
That's a really, really good question. We'll have to stay tuned for that. I know that we're going to do some stuff with streaming on our website when Cubs games are going on. Or not Cubs games. I'm sorry.
See?
Sox games.
Exactly. We'll get used to it.
Yes.
Yes.
But so just stay tuned. There's going to be a lot of great information that's going to be coming out in the next few months, I'm sure.
He says that it's depressing to be so far away from AM radio and blacked out for some reason. So fingers crossed. I hope that we can make sure that you get those games broadcast wherever you are. By the way, he says he was listening to our show while laying in a hospital bed. Really got tough when they ran out of Dilaudid. You know what? As I will be anyone's Dilaudid. If that's what you need to get through the night, if there's no morphine or Dilaudid, I will be there for you. For some people, it's probably the opposite. They need the Dilaudid to hear the show, but that's fine. What do they expect people in excruciating pain to do? Got through some. Now I'm keeping my bride awake all night with this noise. Keep doing great. Always wear clean socks. Thank you so much, Kevin. Hope that you're well tonight. We have a listener on the line. We were also talking about what are your sleeping habits? How do you go to bed tonight? Are you wearing flannel pajamas, or do you have flannel? Do you have flannel sheets? We all have different tastes when it goes to bed. My husband runs hot, so he has a sheet and a very light blanket on him. I have a heated blanket, two quilts, the sheet, and then also my pajamas. It's a lot going on, plus 22 pillows. On the line is Myrna. Myrna, how do you go to bed at night?
Like your husband, a sheet and a light blanket. I get hot easily.
Okay.
And I don't like heavy blankets or anything like that. But the blankets that Esmeralda was talking about,
yes,
they're called San Marcos blankets. That's the brand.
San Marcos? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yes, if you ask a Mexican, they'll say, oh, San Marcos. So that's, you can find them on eBay and Amazon. And they're kind of pricier now because I think the company went out of business. But they're very popular.
There is a brand of San Marcos. No, they're on Amazon. Look at this tiger.
Right?
It's a 10-pound heavy plush soft blanket. Oh, no,
yeah.
Myrna, they have them on Amazon, just so you know. There's a white tiger, an orange tiger.
Those are like the end of what they had at their warehouse. They've gone out of business.
Really?
They're getting, that's why I said they're kind of pricey. If you go on eBay, they're probably even pricier.
This one,
like, they've gone out of business.
I want the wolf. It's $52 on Amazon right now.
Yeah, it looks like they went out of business in 2004. They were produced from 1976 to 2004. By a pair of brothers.
As does $50 sound like it's pricier than what you might have gotten one?
Probably.
Yeah.
I have no idea where mine. I mean, my mom gave me mine, and always had it.
If you go into like Mexican neighborhoods and to the little Mexican stores, you'll find them a lot cheaper.
Okay,
whatever they still have.
But will they have this wolf? There's like one with a wolf.
Yes, they probably.
This
will.
This is gorgeous. Okay. Thank you, Myrna. I've got it all pulled up. So you go to bed with a light layer. You don't like to have a heavy blanket on you. No dead harp seal for you?
No. Hey, quick question.
Sure.
You no longer have musical guests on your show?
We do. We didn't have one on Friday, but we will have Honey and the 45s tomorrow night, as a matter of fact. Yes. And
so you switched from Monday to Friday then?
I did. I did have to switch from you know why? Because we save all of our political and charged conversations for Friday night. We thought it'd be fun to mix it up with some music. That's why.
Okay. How do you get invited to be a guest?
Michael gets all of our content and schedules guests. So you can email him or you can text him and find out, let him know what your pitch is for being on the show.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you, Myrna. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Coming up after the news, I have to tell you how there's a polar vortex affecting much of the planet, and it has split. Does it sound good when a weather front has split in half?
That means there's two now, right?
There's two polar vortexes.
That can't be good.
The other day, my husband Steve noticed something, and I heard him tell his little story, and I was like, okay, yes, that's fine. He said, you know what I saw? I saw a flock of geese flying north. Now, it's February. I'm not entirely sure when geese fly back north. We know that they fly south during the winter. Just, it's one of those things where you're like, oh, look, there's a flock of geese. They're flying in a V pattern. That's kind of interesting. As do you know when geese start to fly back north?
Why would they?
Right?
Don't they do that when it's starting to get cold?
They fly back north toward the colder weather when they know. Here, let me see if I have this right.
Oh.
Birds that nest in the northern hemisphere tend to migrate northward in the spring to take advantage of burgeoning insect populations, budding plants, and abundance of nesting locations, right? Now, it's February, and you would think, well, why would that happen now?
Mm-hmm.
And then I read a story tonight that says the polar vortex has split, and here's what it means to you, right? So the worst part of this is going to hit Europe and Eurasia. They're gonna experience incredibly cold temperatures, and the disruption of the polar vortex is often associated with cold weather in the U.S. That's actually possible that won't be the case. We might be hitting 70 degree weather by the end of February.
Well, that will be a new thing.
But I was just like, what is happening? So it's not that simple. But, you know, we associate the polar vortex with cold outbreaks, especially in the eastern parts of the U.S. But this time, because it's split in half, they think that the temperature off of the ocean and the way it's been, the direction in which the winds are blowing, they think it actually calls for warmer than average temperatures especially across the eastern United States. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I thought it was fascinating because my husband saw something. And you know what? He said something and I dismissed it. And now I think there's something to it. I should have paid attention to him.
Can't ask him again, right?
Can't stop the geese and go, hey, what are you guys doing? Why are you going north now? The geese know something. It is, it's going to be a very strange thing. And they think that this is a warming of the stratosphere. I'm not sure what's warming that. They don't say in particular what that means. But, it's going to be warmer than average temperatures, including it could be up to 20 to 25 degree warmer than average, which sounds fantastic. And, you know, it is what it is. You don't have to think of any other ramifications. Just it's going to be warmer. Do you remember last year? There are days in January that it was like 60 degrees out. Those are the best days of the winter, right in the middle of all the bleakness.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a moment where you go, this doesn't feel right.
It's a little unsettling.
It's a little bit unsettling. We actually managed to go sledding last weekend during the heavy snowfall. I have not been able to talk too much about the car accident I had earlier this week. It feels like it was earlier this year. It seems so long ago. So Steve and I were rear-ended by somebody who had not maintained their car properly, as Steve was rear-ended again yesterday.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
Yeah, what is happening out there, folks? Is my car now a magnet for people like, well, there's a Target. That'll be a soft blow. I just run into that minivan. I don't know what's happening. So I do need the weather to be warmer so people perhaps learn how to use their brakes and don't go sliding on the icy paths anymore. But it has been this winter, for some reason, I don't know if I'm just getting older and my joints are going, nope, you're done. You're done with this weather. How are you weathering this winter, Ez?
I've been fine. Yeah. I don't get creaky joints yet.
I don't know. Maybe I need more turmeric.
Do you have an old injury? Is that what you're feeling?
I have one in my shoulder, one in my knee, and then one in the opposite ankle.
Okay. Because I know from injuries, people say like, ooh, I know when it's going to rain.
Yeah, I actually do know when it's going to rain. The worst is in the summertime when there's a heavy rainfall coming. I can't, my right knee just seizes up completely.
Yeah. But you got to get yourself some turmeric.
Some
anti-inflammatory... foods.
I also feel like I need to lose some weight. I think that, you know, as you get older, you see these folks, like there's a woman who became a yoga instructor in her like late 40s and is now 94 years old.
Oh, I've seen, yeah.
She's still teaching yoga and she's like so wiry. And I think that it's easier on your joints if you weigh less too.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Right? So I'm thinking if I start getting in shape, because I do a lot of powerlifting, but you bulk up a little bit when you do powerlifting.
Yeah.
You know?
Tone.
Yeah.
Tone yourself up.
I know. I'm trying to do a balance of CrossFit at Doghouse and then yoga and then also maybe eating less of the stuff I love.
Right. Yeah. What about some glucosamine?
Is that good for your joints?
Apparently.
I don't know if anybody... I always wonder about these supplements.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ask your current medical general practitioner.
Maybe we'll ask Dr. Tynes.
There you go. She'll know.
She recommended... she said that one of the things that she had purchased was a Fitboard, which was on Shark Tank. By the way, I've used
Oh, yeah. I've seen... I think you asked me before, and I've seen it.
The Fitboard?
Yeah, and you're just like spinning. Or not spinning, but you're like twisting or something.
We have it in the house now, and Griffin just like stands on it to like fidget, like he rocks it back and forth. Michael, have you seen the Fitboard commercials?
Yes, Lori Grenier is a big proprietor of that product, I think.
Is she really?
Yeah, so I've seen that around. It looks, does it work?
I haven't committed to it yet.
I mean, I'm sure it works. Well, I don't know how long you can keep it up.
Does it really make you fit, though? I mean, twisting?
Well, I was looking at it, and I thought, well, I should just bought a hula hoop, right? Because you're kind of like, you're just swiveling your hips, right? And you can tilt your, I guess you could tilt a little bit and rock back and forth on it. But I was like, I just need a hula hoop, really, and just do that for a half an hour. Although, do you really want to? That gets boring, too.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's the thing with all that kind of stuff. I mean, yeah, you could jump rope. You could do it. But is that... very exciting.
Can I tell you how much I hate jumping rope? I hate it. I just, there are two things I hate working out, running and jumping rope. And I don't know if it's because of my, let's just say my...
Because of your joints?
There's another part of my body that doesn't seem to be, I can't...
All right.
Yeah, I can't holster it as well as I would like to.
Just got to tape them down. Get some duct tape.
Not a fan of the jump roping. Do you jump rope, Michael?
I love to jump rope, actually.
You
That's
love
why.
It?
Yes, I do. I think
can you do double unders?
I can do double unders. Yes, I
do you,
can.
Do you just like double under the whole time you're doing it?
No, I like to do the switching of the feet. I do one right, two lefts, one right, two lefts, two lefts, one right.
Can you double dutch?
Not lately.
Did you ever do it?
Double dutch?
Yeah.
I see that, and that's all on a whole other level. I can't, not even close.
I don't know how people jump in.
I tried so many times, and the girls at my school were so kind. They would laugh at me, but yeah, I would do that thing where you're like trying to find the right moment. I'm like rocking back and forth. I can only do the single.
And down. No.
Yes, and the song. What were the songs like? Down in the valley where the green grass grows.
No? Oh, I don't remember. No. Right. We need to bring that back. Adult jump roping, jump roping.
Okay, now we're talking. I could do this.
Except the double dutch, because we can't do double dutch.
I can't do double dutch. It's too late. Do you feel like it's too late to learn double dutch?
No.
Okay.
I don't think it is.
All right, then we should do double dutch.
I mean, it's just jumping.
You know, Stephanie does all these WGN recess programs for us. We did curling. We've done axe throwing. We're going to do sword fighting. I think we need to do double dutch classes. There have to be some double dutch classes. Come on.
I feel like there should be. I mean, she did mention that there's a trampoline place, and that's also a great workout. But the double dutch, I mean, just bring it on back.
In the category of I don't like jump roping, I also do not, or jumping rope, I also, the trampolining, you know what I like to do? I like to lie in the middle of the trampoline while everyone jumps around me and they sort of like bounce me up and down while I'm just, I don't like to jump up and down. It's just, there's a lot going on. You got to be balanced. I'm not a fan. We used to play a game, is it high ball? What's the one with the trampoline where you're shooting it into the, I think it's called highball.
Mm-hmm. It's also a drink.
It is a drink. Mm-hmm. God, what was the name of that? It was at Slugger's by Wrigley. They had batting cages and this trampoline game where you had like four cubes and you each, like, you're just trying to shoot on your opponents, like a almost like a basketball game. Oh my God. When I was a kid, we could play that for hours. Have you been on a trampoline anytime recently?
No.
Yeah.
There's those places where it's just full of trampolines. I don't know how people don't just fall off of them.
They do.
Or fall on their face.
Or break things.
Because I notice they're never just giant trampolines. They're always like small ones
right
next to each other. And I'm like, but what about that space in the middle where there's nothing, you know?
Yeah, it's a little daunting.
How do you not jump into that and just fall right into it?
Well, you know what? You'll have to come with us to the event that we do next month and find out, don't you think?
I'll watch from afar.
I think you come lie down on the trampoline with me and let people jump.
Oh, yeah,
on
and
us.
Then someone jumps on you. No, thank you.
That is a fear. I think WGN staff will be very respectful of our lounging.
You're talking about the game Break the Egg, when you would sit in the middle and you would like kind of wrap your arms around and you would try to see if they can jump around you to break.
No.
Have you ever played that before?
No, that sounds terrible.
Yeah, it sounds frightening.
That's all I can think about when you guys are talking about this. And I remember the one time I played this, I was very small growing up, and Brad Jaeger needed to show off his immense jumping abilities, and I bit right through my tongue.
Oh, no, Michael.
See, terrible. I'm out.
That guy's, I don't like that guy. Brett Jaeger, is that his name?
He's a really nice guy. He just was really good at jumping.
He made you bite through your tongue.
Yeah, see, but think about it. When you're jumping and there's somebody just rolling around on the trampoline,
yeah.
How do you control where you land?
Fair enough.
If they, out of nowhere, you see them, you're like, oh no, and then you just stomp right on them.
Live on the edge.
I would rather do bouncy houses. Can we just do like big adult bouncy houses?
Yes.
Okay, you're in on that?
Yeah.
You know what?
Can we do that and then the inflatable bar? Have you seen that?
I have not.
I forget where it is, but they just inflate a bar in your backyard. And it's like, look, you have a bar now.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's, Michael, let's let Stephanie know. We're going to do the bouncy house. They have like these places that just have all these bouncy houses, like slides and everything. And then we're going to ask them for our event to do the inflatable bar as well.
I love how it divulged into double dutch, then into trampoline, and then you and I, we're all just going to meet at a bar. I mean,
it's inflatable.
Inflatable.
Yes. It's all a theme.
It's going to be bring your own inflatable bar. More after this on 720 WGN. It has been a long week. And coming up tomorrow, we'll obviously talk about all the political stuff that's going on. We've talked a little bit about the tragic stories. My friend who has served with Commander Bauer for many years, she worked with him when he was her captain. He was her commander for several years, and she is obviously, as many police officers are, as the city of Chicago is, heartbroken over the loss of Commander Bauer. And the city was reeling all day Tuesday, trying to wrap our minds around that moment when a police officer answered a call, rushed toward danger, as his job was. His wife, in a conversation with a friend of hers, said that, you know, I always thought that he would know what to do, that he would always find a way out. And I can't imagine what she and her daughter Grace are going through. It is one of the worst stories in Chicago's history, really. Whenever we lose one of our finest, hearts break. And we try to understand why. What could we have done? What could have been done differently? And the same is true of these shootings in Florida. This morning, I actually stayed up all night as when I got off work here. John Bolger and I hung out after the show, and I was kind of wired. I wanted to see Griffin before he went off to school. He goes to a school. He's an eighth grader, but he attends school with high schoolers. And, you know, I mean, the idea that he left school yesterday, kind of hearing a little bit about what happened in Florida, it was hard. I mean, Griffin started having to do drills at his grade school when he was 7 years old, active shooter drills. As you've done, you know, when we were kids, we did fire drills, we did tornado drills, right?
Well, I was still in high school when Columbine happened, so.
So you guys did active shooter drills?
I don't think we did active shooter, but things were starting to be put in place to prevent or to, you know, in case something like that would happen.
The casualties would be.
Yeah.
Wow. Michael, did you also have after, like, sort of, because you guys are about the similar age,
yeah,
I think?
We are, and I was in high school as well when Columbine happened, and I don't remember even hearing about doing an active shooter drill, nor that term, that buzzword wasn't even in my vocabulary at the time when this stuff was happening.
Can you imagine? Griffin was 7 when he knew what active shooter meant.
Wow.
And they would say, you know, but they would also give, like, here's the code word that you will hear over the public announcement system, over the PA. You'll hear Mr. Brown is in the building. And that meant that they should all get to a closet, you know, get low, make sure someone locks the door. 7 years old. And he was starting to learn what it meant to be in danger from somebody breaching security at their school. At his grade school, they only had a police officer. I mean, and I'm sure most schools would have a police officer at the front desk. If somebody wants to come in, a police officer at the front desk, someone just walks in. I mean, the doors are locked. A lot of people could buzz in. You know, you follow somebody else through, or you see someone coming up behind you, you hold the door open. And it's just, it doesn't cross your mind that the person coming in behind you is there to kill everybody. That's not what you think is going to happen in a building filled with children between the ages of 3 and 14. It's just not, it doesn't, even as the world changes, even after Connecticut, I think that you would still not think, you would still feel as though, oh, there's a parent or another kid or somebody's brother or somebody's sister coming in the building. And Griffin has known that reality since he was 7 years old. And he was so angry yesterday that this had happened at another school. He said this morning when we woke, when he was I was still at 6 a.m. he gets up and he starts getting ready for school, and I was in the kitchen and I gave him a hug, and he goes, "Is this because of Florida?" And I said, "Yeah, yes, I, you know, one of the other moms from your class messaged me," and she goes, "Can we just keep them home and hold them today?" I don't even, we're so numb to this now. But I don't know how you don't watch these stories of these teachers, these parents, and not feel like you want to do something. That's all. I mean, wanting to do something, whatever that is, whatever your approach is, whatever you think needs to happen, I think that it's all valid, unless, of course, you're just worried about your own rights. That's the one I have trouble with. I also think that the parents' grief and the children who are now posting about this and talking about it, I'm going to go with their opinions and listen to them. Not that I agree with them, but those voices should be heard in every way. And we're going to listen to some of that audio in just a few minutes. But what Griffin said to me this morning, because I said, you know, we were talking about this on the show last night, that a lot of people, when they learned about Commander Bauer's killing, when he was shot, a lot of people thought, well, why was he that guy on the streets? He should have served more time. He's a lifelong criminal. And everyone was talking about what should have happened and how we could have avoided it. And then immediately after the story broke in Florida and 17 people were killed, teenagers, a football coach who put his body in front of his students to shield them, who died, a teacher who hid 19 students in her classroom is now being interviewed. And she's talking about how terrified her students were. She saved 19 kids from being killed yesterday. And what Griffin said this morning to me when I said, you know, people are saying it's too soon to talk about it. It's too soon to talk about what we can do to avoid this next time. Can we talk about Columbine now? Is it too soon for that? Is it too soon to talk about Aurora? Is it too soon to talk about Connecticut? I'm just curious about when I can talk about Vegas. Just tell me when, and then we'll do it. And Griffin said this morning, he said, "Mommy, it's not too soon to talk about it, but it is too soon to forget about it." And that's the thing, I think I he's 14 and he wants to keep talking about it, and he wants to keep talking about all of these stories. You know, one of those girls who hid in a closet, her grandfather was the survivor of a mass shooting when he was 12 years old, and he hid in a closet. Can you imagine that family? Her mother said that she was so glad that her father didn't survive, that he would have to see the tragedy that occurred yesterday in Florida. Hey, Brad, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, good.
Hey, what'd you want to say?
Are we, is this live on the air?
Yeah, you're live on the air, Brad.
Okay, sorry, Patty. Yeah, listen, I work in a school, grade school, and these last few days have just been, you know, sad, mind-boggling. The mind-boggling part lies at the base of this. The NRA and the Republican Party are co-conspirators in this. There's no other word for it. Do you have you seen the amount of money that people in the Senate are getting, have gotten from the NRA? Have you seen any of those numbers?
I have, and these lists come out every single time, don't they, Brad? And people shed a light on it every single time. And
the thing that's most disgusting is this boilerplate prayers for the victims and for the first responders. And then you see John McCain has gotten $7.7 million from the NRA. Rubio, $3.3 million. I won't bore you with the details because they're so sad, but they have never done a thing to stop this problem. And do you know what the very first piece of legislation Trump signed when he came into office that got no publicity? And you know what a big deal he makes out of signing every little scrap of paper, including executive orders that comes through his office?
Right.
You know what the first thing he signed was?
Which one was it?
Making it easier for mental patients, et cetera, to get guns.
Lowering the restrictions on the mentally ill to have access to weapons.
CBS tried 12 different times to get footage of him signing that. Guess what? There isn't any. I wonder why that might be.
You know, we've talked a lot about the Constitution and the Second Amendment, and people really want to talk about how it was built into the foundation of our country. And it's there because, you know, democracy is fragile and you have to protect it. And it's interesting that we are in a time period where the First Amendment comes under attack so viciously without any sort of like repercussions. There's no consequence to saying that a news outlet is fake news. But if anybody says anything about the Second Amendment, then we're a threat. And people said that President Obama, you remember how high the sales were when President Obama was in office because people thought he was going to take their guns? It was the highest level of sales of guns.
Did you know that Remington is on the verge of bankruptcy because Obama's not in office anymore?
Well, yesterday after...
And their guns now that they feel safe. Their guns are safe under Trump.
And there was a surge in gun sales after yesterday's shooting. Every time there's a shooting, I guess.
No, I'm glad you mentioned that because that's the first thing that occurred to me. I thought maybe Remington might be, their company might be saved now because of this.
Yeah, well, there you go. And did you see also that the NRA had a tweet out yesterday saying buy your loved one, basically saying buy your loved one a gun, and then the shooting happened and they pulled that down. There's so many components of this story that are continue to evolve, and we learn about this young man. I believe his name is Nicholas Cruz. He was a member of a white supremacist group, and there are photographs of him wearing a MAGA hat, and that's something.
I saw it. Yeah, with a mask over his face.
And in the initial hours, did you see this? With people tried posting a picture of a young man wearing an Antifa shirt, saying that was the shooter, and it was not him.
Well, what they do talk about, this is one of the chief ironies of this entire era, is the fake news is being perpetrated by the people that are screaming fake news. You know, it's classic projection, classic propaganda techniques.
Yeah.
You know, they've mastered the art of marketing. Trump and the Republican Party, since Reagan, have become the masters of the soundbite. They've made everything simple, so that you block any sort of an intellectual response to anything. They deal at the emotional level. They're perfect at it. And the irony of it is that they started all this stuff with anti-communist stuff. Now it's coming out with the connections between the NRA and Russia. I mean, Richard Engel had a story about this last July. There's a guy in Tennessee. His name is Klein. He's got connections with this Russian oligarch named Torshin and the NRA and the religious right down in Tennessee. I'll be happy to email you any of this stuff, but
absolutely.
I can't find your email address.
Oh, I'm at Patty, P-A-T-T-I, happens, like poop happens, at gmail.com.
Huh?
Yep.
Okay, I had it, but it's gone, so I'll send you this stuff.
Oh, thank you.
You'll just be blown away. Plus, on a lighter note, have you seen the Jim Carrey... Cold Dead Hands parody spoof on Funny or Die.
Yeah, I have.
Years old.
Yeah. Yeah.
saw that tonight.
It rings true. Thank you so much, Brad. Thank you for the work that you do too with the kids. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon. More after this on 720 WGN. This morning, I had a really tough time sending my son off to school. He attends a high school on the northwest side of Chicago. And after yesterday's tragedy, and tragedy's not even a... It's catastrophic, as 17 people dead in high school, in a school where, you know, I sent Griffin off to school. It's like, all right, I'll see you at the end of the day. Pick you up after school. Oh, do you have math club? Do you have improv class? What are you gonna do after school? What are you going to hang out with your friends? And that's not, their parents are trying to figure out, like, well, what are we going to have for dinner? And the next thing they know, they're waiting to find out if their kid's going to come home. There's a woman who is a teacher. She saved 19 lives hiding kids in a closet. And that's one of the things that they teach kids now in school is when there's an active shooter in the hallways is to go into a closet. Can we play that audio, Michael?
You know, we've made a lot of changes to safety protocols this year at US, led by one of our assistant principals. And, you know, I think that is what, you know, helped us be so prepared. I don't think we could have been more prepared than we were today. I mean, we talked to every single class period that sat in front of us, you know, about what to do in this situation, in a bomb threat, in a fire drill. Like, we went over every safety, and every single teacher did that with every single, you know, class that they had until the kids were tired of hearing about it. But they knew what to do. We knew what to do. And even still, even with that, we still have 17, you know, casualties, 17 people that aren't going to return to their families. And to me, that's totally unacceptable. And from my personal viewpoint, it's time for Congress, government, somebody to do something. And it's time to talk about what the problem is and try to fix it.
That's Melissa Falkowski. She's a teacher at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. She saved 19 kids yesterday, and what do you say to somebody? Everybody who wants to get angry at somebody who says that Congress has to do something. Why are you angry that a woman had to hide in a closet with her students, hoping that she would be able to send them home to her parents? You want to be mad at her? That her plea, that her begging is wrong? Michael, can you play the clip of the mother who's 14? She had just made funeral arrangements for her 14-year-old daughter, and she came out, and here she is.
How do we allow a gunman to come into our children's school? How do they get through security? What security is there? There's no metal detectors. The gunman, a crazy person, just walks right into the school, knocks down the window of my child's door, and starts shooting her and killing her. President Trump, you say, what can you do? You can stop the guns from getting into these children's hands. Put metal detectors at every entrance to the schools. What can you do? You can do a lot. This is not fair to our families that our children go to school and have to get killed.
President Trump has offered his...
I just spent the last 2 hours putting the burial arrangements for my daughter's funeral, who's 14. President Trump, please do something. Do something. Action! We need it now! These kids need safety now!
President Trump has offered his prayers and thoughts to the families of the children who were killed in Florida. Today, he said that that not enough was done by the people who knew Nicholas Cruz, that it was on them, that they didn't say something. There were actually some people who said something, that the FBI had been contacted. He had purchased the guns legally. So the FBI's job, they checked up, and he had those guns legally. Anthony Rizzo from the Chicago Cubs graduated from this school.
I've been very impressed with talking to the students and how they're taking care of each other and how they're coming together. And I'm so grateful to the teachers, the coaches, the administration, and all the first responders who tried to protect them. I am only who I am because of this community. And I just want all of you to know how proud I am to be part of this community. I want you to know that you're not alone in your grief. We're all grieving with you. The entire country is grieving with you. So whatever comfort I can give, I will give. Whatever support I can offer to our students, teachers, coaches, and families, and first responders, you'll have it. I went to Stoneman Douglas. I grew up in Stoneman Douglas. I played on those fields. I went to those classes. I studied in those classrooms. The same school we saw in videos yesterday for all the wrong reasons. We see this on TV too often. I feel like it's all the time. It is. There's a cycle to it. We get horrified that this violence is inflicted in our kids, we get angry that there's nothing we can do and nothing's done about it. And then we ultimately get immune and move on to something else. But then it happens in our own town, in your own school, or the movie theater, or a nightclub, or a church. And we realize it could happen to us and our safe and tight-knit community, Parkland. In fact, there are a lot of communities out there that know exactly what we're going through right now and have to relive these moments again and again. Look, I'm a baseball player, but I'm also an American. I'm a Floridian, and I'm a Parklander for life. And while I don't have all the answers, I know that something has to change before this is visited on another community and another community and another community.
I don't think anybody else could have said it better. Who's going to be next? More after this on 720 WGN.